Hey friends, welcome back to this week's episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. I am your non-diet dietitian, trainer, and host, Katie. And today, buckle up because we are going for a ride. I'm laughing because I have tried to record this intro about 10 times. I am rarely solo in the car. Today, as always, as usual, I got my co-pilot, Timmy. Timmy turns one this month, day before my birthday. I'll let you guess how old I am. How youthful I am. And I just have had a lot of swirling thoughts about just some lessons I've learned life lately. And I figured, well, let's take you along for the ride. So buckle up, let's get into it.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour, the podcast where we help you redefine the word fit so you can stop quantifying and start living. I'm your non-diet dietitian, personal trainer, and host, Katie. Join me each week for solo episodes and expert interviews where self-care meets science. Whether you're a group fitness front row diva or just starting out on your wellness journey, whether you choose oat milk or full fat in your latte, all foods, all backgrounds, and all bodies are welcome here as you embark on your non-diet journey.
I will never forget. Well, I did forget. I was reminded by Instagram gives you like memories, kind of how Facebook does the memories, you know, pops up. And there was a memory that popped up 10 years ago, 10 years ago, 9 years ago, 2015. And I was at a P90X, if you remember Tony Horton, P90X, the, you know, all the workout videos on TV, the infomercials late at night. I was at a certification for that. So, you know, if you've been here for a minute, if you're new here, back in college, I worked for a fitness company, major fitness company, to certify, train, mentor, develop new fitness instructors in these formats. And so I had to drive. I didn't have to. I wanted to, and I did. I was obsessed with it. I drove, I think it was like 6 hours in the car on the weekend to Niles, Ohio, to shadow another trainer because I had to, you know, figure out and pass these different tests and different levels and videos in order to be eligible to train others. And so that was the, you know, the training that I was shadowing. And I'll never forget, I had a 6 hour drive home, but the day, that day was a Sunday, was the day where they announced whether or not you got a dietetic internship. Now, if you're not familiar, the path to become a dietitian is, it's stupid, to be honest. It's great. It's a wonderful journey, but man, is it rough. You have to complete a bachelor's degree. After you do that, you have to apply to all these different programs. You can apply to however many you want. They're expensive to apply to, and you either get one match or none, and you have to complete this, you know, special internship, 1,200 hours, typically unpaid, to in order to then sit, to be eligible to sit for your registered dietitian exam. And so it's no pressure, right? It's like you've done this for me, it was 5 years of undergrad. You've pretty much put all your eggs in one basket of a profession. And yeah, I had big dreams with this fitness company that I was going to move out to California. I was just going to, you know, become like a celebrity fitness trainer. That was my goal. That was my vision. That was my dream. So I'm in the car. I'm exhausted. It's been a long weekend. I think we did a Turbo Kick certification and then we did a P90X certification. So it was Saturday, Sunday. This was like Sunday evening. I was driving home and we got the email that the results were up, right? You logged into this portal to see if you got one match or none. Man, talk about pit in your stomach, like the lump in your throat, like sick to your stomach. Have you ever been so nervous about something that you just have all these physical feelings, physical emotions, just like on, you know, high alert, like feel like you're on pins and needles. That's how I felt because it was like all my career, my future felt like in the click of this button. And so naturally this was before I like had a good iPhone or service. I don't know. I just remember I had to pull over at a rest stop, like in the middle of nowhere, Ohio. Okay, so I pull over, little Niles, Podunk, Ohio. No, I was outside of Niles at a rest stop. I think it was a Panera Bread, right? Because I was very in the thick of dieting at that time. And I remember just like really overthinking what to eat. I was in the car a lot when I did these trainings because I would drive to Michigan. I would drive all around Indiana. I drove to Illinois, drove to Ohio. And so it wasn't uncommon for me to have like a 3-4-5 hour drive, you know, the way there and then the way back. And I had, of course, so Panera was quote unquote healthy, had healthy options. And that's a whole nother podcast. I sat down and I clicked the button and no match. Have you ever just like experienced that feeling of failure? I'm a big loser. And that wasn't even the worst part. Like, you know, there's always something in the back of your head of like, what if this doesn't work out? It was then having to go to school, like go to class the next day. And you're talking to all these people who did get matched. They've got their dream matches and I got nothing. And then you're scrambling because then you can apply again for like basically the leftovers. You can apply for the leftovers and it's super, it all happens within like 48 hours. And I think I applied to some and I think I maybe got an interview. Anyways, long story longer, it didn't work out. I ended up having to go a different route where I kid you not, I had to pay. I had to take out a private loan because this is not considered schooling. Like this is just this, it's so hard to explain. I had to take out a $20,000 loan to pay for my internship. I don't know if I've ever really talked about it because there's definitely a lot of like shame and weird, like it just feels like was it the right decision? I mean, looking back, obviously it was, and I justified it because I was very fortunate to not have to, like I got a lot of my undergraduate degree paid for through scholarships. And so I thought, okay, I don't have a ton of student debt. This will be my student debt. And yeah, went through the whole process, finally became a registered dietitian. And so yesterday, so bear with me, squirrel brain today, I told you I'm on the way to visit my bestie, old college roommate. She recently had her second baby and she is just my like, wow, it's possible. She can do it. She's managing two. Okay, I can handle this. So welcome to my brain. And yeah, so yesterday I spoke at this conference. It was for all the registered dietitians in the state of Indiana. So I told you, you have to become a registered dietitian with this, you know, big board, big organization that kind of oversees and all the ethics, and, right? The licensure, all those things. And each state has their own chapter. And so I was asked to speak, get paid to speak, right? Like, oh my gosh, I've done so many free gigs. This was like a really big deal to get paid and you show up. And so as I was preparing for this talk, I was nervous because I can speak to strangers. I can talk to you. You're my friend. You're my people. But it's another thing to talk to your peers, especially peers who are 1,000 times smarter than me, in my opinion. I mean, you know what I mean? And there were just so many feelings that were bubbling up a little bit about imposter syndrome and, you know, do I deserve to be here? The nerves really didn't fully set in until, so it was a Thursday and Friday. And I was there on a Thursday as just an attendee. And I'm sitting there watching all these presentations and people talking about their research and their statistics and their data and their graphs. I have to share like a video, a picture of one of the graphs. I'll share with you on Instagram this week of just the examples of what some of these dietitians are talking about. So wicked smart. And it just, you know, do I deserve to be here? Like, who am I to be up here talking? And I don't know. It just led me down this whole path of just learning, like, wow, it doesn't matter how far you are in your, you know, diet journey, your recovery journey, however you want to label it, those things can still come up. And I just am so grateful that I have healed my relationship with food, with exercise, my body, because it gave me so much more brain space at the event to focus on the other things that I've achieved. Like it was easy for me to hone in on those thoughts and go, no, that's ridiculous. You absolutely deserve to be here. And how amazing is it that you had all these adversities that, you know, on paper, you should not have been a dietitian. You should not have been a personal trainer. Yet you did.
you've done these things and you're here and you were asked to be here for a reason. Unlike the days where I would be dieting and I'd be thinking about, you know, does my hair look okay? Or am I thin enough? Are people going to be staring at my body when I'm up here on this stage? Like, all these body image thoughts that can just swirl. Okay, I am going to the coffee shop because what is a meetup with your friend without coffee? I'm going to pause the story. It's not going to be pause for you. Pause for me. I'm going to pause the story. I'm going to grab a coffee. I'm going to meet my friend. And then I'm going to finish my story, finish my thoughts. And so maybe you should go grab a cup of coffee too. All right, be back soon.
Okay, hope you grabbed a cup of coffee. I am now back. Do you ever have those friends that it's you go time without seeing them and then you just pick back up like it's no problem. It's the best. And this friend, love her so much. It's just funny because we are both in this season as moms and it's difficult. If you have children, you'll know, or if you have friends who have kids, it is hard to like get a focused conversation in when you're also half your brain is like watching your child or, you know, you're on high alert, but it's a fun season. It's just wild to look back on. You feel like you blink and you're just like, how did we get here? So I was talking about just showing up on stage and something that helped me, and I hope it helps you when you're in these social settings, or maybe you have to give a talk or a presentation at work, or, you know, be in front of people and you have those body image thoughts creep up. It always helps me to remind myself that they're not focused on me. They're focused so much more on my energy, the content, the information that I'm bringing around this topic, around this thing. And that's what matters. Nobody cares what I look like. Nobody is paying attention to anything that I'm thinking about in relation to my body. They are focused on what they're there for, right? What's in it for me? They are there to get information, to, you know, maybe you're in a work setting, they're trying to learn something to better do their job. Like, what is in it for me? And that is what matters. It's about them. It's not about us. And I just want to encourage you, if you have something like that coming up, take a pause and even just assess what things are coming up for me and remind yourself on maybe other experiences that you've been through, you've lived through, and it's never as bad as we think it's going to be. And you deserve to be there. Like, you are up there in front of people, you're doing the thing, you're leading the group for a reason. And that reason has nothing to do with your body and how you look. Another thing I wanted to share with you that I learned at this conference that I thought was so fascinating. The man who did the lecture, he was actually my college professor back at Purdue. And he is so wicked smart. His name is Dr. Richard Mattis. You should look him up. And he studies, I want to say, I need somebody fact check me on this. I want to say his research discovered the fifth taste. Do you know what the fifth taste is? Can you name them? We have sweet, sour, salty, bitter. And he, I'm pretty sure, discovered umami, which is like the meaty taste that you know, when you eat meat or like mushrooms, that meaty flavor. He discovered that flavor. And so he studies the palatability of foods and taste receptors. And so interesting. So he gave a presentation at this conference about, there's a lot of hype and negative messaging around ultra processed foods. You probably see it on the media, in social media all the time. Avoid this food, avoid processed foods, whole foods, and that's it. And we're kind of at this point from the food industry side, from the, not the food industry, but the nutritional guidelines, right? There's legislation, there are laws and regulations within each country that say, you know, what has to be on a label, and different laws around what can be, you know, included in different types of foods in, you know, in the food industry. And some other countries have banned on, again, there's all these different rules around processed foods, how it's packaged, how it's, you know, what ingredients can be in it, and all these things. And it was just so interesting. Again, this is like super smart guy, super smart. So he presented, is there enough research, you know, out in the field? Is there enough evidence to support putting all these regulations and laws around
processed foods? And the answer was no, there's not enough information. And I thought it was just super interesting. And I love when super smart people talk about these topics, because there's so much in the media that says, eat this, not that, or this is so bad for you. But then at the end of the day, there's nothing to actually back it up. It's like they heard one nugget somewhere and it just spreads like wildfire. He gave this graph. I posted this on social media last week, if you follow my stories, and right after the conference, he posted this graph. There was a study that they did, and the left side was lean individuals, you know, normal, quote unquote, normal BMI. And the right side was, you know, considered quote unquote higher BMIs. And they did a study on measuring, you know, what level of sweetness they liked in the lemonades. And of course, the dots were all over the map, meaning it didn't matter the size of your body. That didn't impact. You know, there's this assumption that, well, larger people, they must be addicted to sweets. And it's like, no, people in lean body also had preference for super sweet lemonade and not sweet lemonade. Like, body size has nothing to do with it. And he just talked about how the palatability, like, right, like the taste, how you enjoy foods, it's not necessarily the property of the food. Are you following me? Like, people always say, well, processed foods have chemicals in them that make us addicted to them. They make them more palatable, and therefore we're addicted. And it's not the property of the food. It's a characteristic of the person. What do we mean by that? Meaning we learn through experience our preferences around food. And preference around food is often driven by frequency of exposure. Think about someone maybe you know who always drank, you know, skim milk. And then all of a sudden they switch to 2% or whole milk. You know, let's think in your coffee or whatever. And at first they're like, oh, gross, I don't like it. But over time, if that's all that's available and they just kept drinking that, they would grow to like it. They would just go, yeah, okay, it's fine. And then they go back to the skim milk and go, oh my gosh, I can't drink that anymore. Preference is driven by frequency of exposure. And I just thought that was so interesting and so true if you think about it. And we learn as human beings, in most situations, we learn to like the available food supply. He gave the example of, you know, we don't put sugar on our steaks. It's not that we can't, we just don't. Like, there's just so many cultural nuances, and there's so much more to food. There's so much more to food. And I just found that research really encouraging of just the direction we're going and recognizing that food and nutrition is so nuanced. It is so not black and white. You know, we can aim for variety. We can aim for quote unquote balance, variety, and things in moderation. I don't even like to use the word moderation. I think just, you know, the little bit of everything, variety, like that is what matters when it comes to eating in a way that is sustainable and nourishing and health promoting. So I could talk about that. I wish I could speak to the level that he spoke, and there's probably way more takeaways, but that is what I took away from it. Last thing I want to update you on, I don't think I announced this really on the podcast yet, but as of last week, last Monday was my last day with my full-time fitness job. I am now full-time back into private practice, personal training. I have my own office, which is super exciting, based out of a local gym facility here in Carmel, Indiana. So if you're local in the Indianapolis area, hit me up. I would love to personal train you, meet with you for nutrition coaching. I'm just super excited to be back in person with people. And going back to what I was talking about in the beginning, just this whole imposter syndrome and was I meant to be here? I also had a lot of, I don't know if you want to say shame or conflicting feelings about leaving my full-time corporate role. Because I think we have this vision of what success looks like, and it's often held to a title. And so often we get there and your priorities shift, and it takes time. I don't know if it's experience, if it's years, if it's maturity, whatever it is, to get to the point where you just kind of go, that doesn't matter anymore. Like, the money doesn't matter, the perks doesn't matter. Like, at the end of the day, when you're so clear on your priorities, and for me in the season of life, it's being a mom, being with my family, like being present for the little things. Of course, I still want to thrive and have definite career goals, but recognizing like, this doesn't align with my values anymore. And that's okay. That's okay. It is okay. It's not about the title. Who cares about the title? Again, going back to body and those external things, nobody cares as much as you do. And if you don't care, then why does it matter? So I don't know who needs to hear that or needs that push today, but go with what is your priorities? What's important to you when it comes to not just your values around food, but just around your health, around your life? Because talk about balance. I think if it's just, it's integrated. It is our whole life. It's our life integrated. I am sure I will have more to say about being back in private practice as time goes on, but man, it has taken years. If you've been here for a minute, you know, you've been with me on this journey before I even became a registered dietitian. I was seeing people in childcare rooms. I was seeing people in coffee shops. Like I was seeing people in co-working spaces, anywhere and everywhere. And I had attempted to see people in gyms. And really, really for many years looked for collaborating with a gym type setting that was not so diet culture focused and, you know, had people that valued my expertise as a registered dietitian. And I'm so happy, so freaking happy that I have finally found that. And I'm just really excited about the value to bring to my local community, as well as continuing to support you wherever you're at. So stay tuned for that. I'm just super excited. And I just want to give you an update. Like I always say, I want to take you along for the ride, let you know what's going on. I hope you found this episode encouraging, regardless of wherever you're at on your non-diet journey. Next week, we are going to talk all about how to stop getting back on track. You know what I mean? Like it's Monday rolls around or Sunday rolls around, the Sunday scaries, and you go, ugh, okay, Monday, we're getting back to it. We're getting on. We're getting on a schedule. We're getting on routine, right? We've all been there. It's human nature. But how do you just not even get off the wagon? How do you stay on the wagon? How do you stay on the railroad tracks? Like, we're going to talk about that. So if you're not already, hit the follow button, hit the subscribe button. You'll get episodes automatically downloaded. Shout out to Apple for now transcribing podcasts. Amazing. Making it more accessible for more abilities, more bodies, and we're here for that. So leave us a review. Let us know what you want to hear next, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can subscribe or follow wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.